97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you check out this week's show podcast as well. We put out two podcasts every week. This one comes out on Mondays.
It's a good one.
And the show podcast goes out on every Friday. It was a good show. Carl Middleman here with myself. I'm Tony Colombo. And joining us this week is our good friend, the fisherman Mike Marfell. Mike, great to talk with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Front porching in Fenton. Hey, Tony, I want to mention something real quick.
Yes.
I love living in Fenton. So it's just a Thursday, right, in May.
Yep.
And I'm standing on my porch. I see one blue line flag, one don't tread on me flag, one Marine Corps flag, and I can count six American flags flying on a Thursday.
There you go.
Here. Yeah, so I live in the right spot.
Well, hopefully they take them in when it starts to rain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It looks like it might be doing that anytime here soon.
Yeah, it's raining here
as,
in Fenton,
so, yeah, yeah, as we tape this. So on the show this week, we just talked to the guy, his name is Anthony Schnurr. He is from Peavely. He just set the Missouri state record for the largest long-nosed gar using a pole and line. It's a 32-pound, 10-ounce fish down there at Table Rock Lake. I don't know what's going on in the water. We can talk about this as we go on here, Mike, but here in the state of Missouri, we've already seen four or five state records fall. We had a world record set here in the state of Missouri this year. We've seen other states down in Texas. I know there was another record set very recently. Yep. There's a lot.
The Red Ear Sunfish out west was just caught a couple days ago, a 6-pound bluegill, basically.
Dang, that's incredible. Yeah, there's
I
just
think that was at Lake Havasu in Arizona. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah,
that's
records are falling everywhere. I don't know what is going on, but this guy, this Anthony, who we just spoke to, you know, as we're recording this, we just spoke to him moments ago because we just finished the show and now we're doing the podcast exclusive. And, you know, they get released at different times, these podcasts, but we're fresh off that conversation. And this guy, he had an older gentleman who was basically his mentor who went fishing with him. They'd been fishing together for the last 30 years, he said. And very recently, his old friend became ill and unfortunately passed away. And right before this guy went fishing, Anthony went fishing, he had a chance to visit with his old friend for one last time. And I'm telling you, I am not telling this, giving this story any justice. If you didn't listen to the show this week,
I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, and if you go download that podcast. If everybody who hasn't heard this story didn't hear the show this week, make sure you go and hear it from Anthony's lips because he tells the story way better than I do because it's his story. But he got a last chance to see his old friend, and you know, and they talked about fishing a whole bunch, he said. So then a couple days later, he gets the unfortunate phone call that his friend is gone, and he's talking to his friend's wife, who says, "Anthony, I want you to do me a favor." And he says, anything I can do. And she says, "Next time you're out on the water, catch a fish for him." And he goes out. And he sets the freaking state record catching that fish for his friend. I mean,
that is the craziest thing. I mean,
isn't that amazing?
You could be a full blown atheist and have to stop and think twice about that, right?
Like Bo said on the show, Bo said, like, you know, he said, "I think, Anthony, I know you caught the fish, but I think you had some help."
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what an incredible, incredible story.
Was he fishing for gar on purpose?
Yeah, I know that's...
Do people do that?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to talk to him about that because I wondered the same thing. I, like you, am a bass fisherman, and I have seen gar in the water, and I don't want anything to do with them. So
they're all over Lake of the Ozarks.
They are all over Lake of the Ozarks.
And a guy was like, they're spawning. I was like, okay, if you say so. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
But apparently they're spawning right now, too, so it's like... I mean, I've seen some giants back in the shallows of Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh man, right across the cove from us, there's a little, I guess this would actually be a not even a secondary cove. It'd be a third, a thirdary cove, whatever you call those.
auxiliary cove.
To the back.
Yeah, exactly. That we literally call Gar Cove because there's so many of them back there.
And you stay away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they're right there at the surface, man. And it's not a very deep, you know, it's not, the water back there is not that deep. And, man, they are right there in clear view. Speaking of the lake, did you
see? That's our go-to thing, Tony, when we're not catching them. You know, you'll be like, this place is a gar hole.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of vernacular most bass fishermen use. This place is a gar hole.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, and I don't know if you saw also, speaking of the Lake of the Ozarks, you see the old 98-year-old guy this past week caught a paddlefish, snagged a huge paddlefish that was as big as he was. And I don't think they weighed it, because you can find the story pretty easily, but I can't find the weight of the fish anywhere that I look.
And we were wondering what snagging
maybe
was.
Maybe that's a seasonal thing, because you can only...
He caught it on the last day of snagging season. He caught it on April 30th, on the last day.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. We got a 98-year-old guy catching a freaking human-sized paddlefish at the lake. We've got Anthony setting records down at Table Rock.
The scientists in Michigan.
Yeah, the
caught a 7-foot, 240-pound sturgeon.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on.
The big sunfish.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on out there.
You got to see this picture, Tony.
I will.
Sunfish. A red ear that's 6 pounds, 6 ounces, and the little feller that caught him, they kind of look alike. They're both short and squatty.
So you've been out there. What's going on the water right now?
Oh, the fishing is outstanding. Crappie at Lake of the Ozarks, they're up in a foot of water. You can just catch the tar out of them. Bass, same thing. Some are done spawning. Some are, you know, the next wave will be coming. I had a blast at my tournament last weekend. We caught probably 15, 16 keepers, but could only cull up to like 14 pounds. We never could find any big ones. And you know, any real big ones. We had a 4-pounder in the bag, but, you know, nothing giant. That's not going to do you any good at Lake of the Ozarks. There was a lot of those weights right there. The 14 to 15 pounds was just, we ended up in 30th out of like 120 boats with 14, I think we had 14.3, but there was countless bags up until you got to the top 4 or 5, and I think 21 pounds won it. And apparently those guys were still out fishing main lake points. So some of the big females for that next spawning wave, were still out on the main lake. So that's, you know, if they were telling the truth, which I think they were, because I kept thinking that we need to go out there. We can't catch, you know, we had our limit by 7:30 in the morning. And then we're calling all day. Just caught tons and tons of fish. You can do a little bit of everything. Water temperatures were in the mid-60s. The bass bite is on, the crappie bite is on. I'm sure, obviously the gar bite is on.
Hey, what is snagging, by the way, Mike?
It's just, you're trolling along with a giant hook, and you're just pumping that rod with a giant treble hook, trying to snag those big spoonbills.
Okay.
I've never done it personally. It looks freaking exhausting.
I have a buddy. I have a buddy who's an iron worker who does it. Who goes down with a bunch of friends every year in April, and they go out there, and they always and inevitably every year he goes down, and the pictures that he takes and he sends me, they usually end up with a big giant fish, so it's usually him holding one of these paddlefish up, and they're as big as he is almost, and he's a pretty big guy. So I get it. They're big, big old fish, and that's got to be a whole lot of fun. But every picture he's ever sent me, they all got coats on and hoods or ponchos, and the sky is gray, and they look cold and wet.
it looks like they've been in a street fight usually, yeah.
They always look very cold. They always look very cold and very wet. And I'm like, and this is a good time?
Yeah. And I mean, I've never done it, but it seems to me, yeah, you're catching a big fish, but you're using a giant rod too. I mean, it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's, right. I don't know what kind of fight they put up, but I bet if you snag one in the back or the tail, I bet they put up one heck of a fight.
This gar, I know it's different, but this gar that Anthony caught that we were just talking about, he said that this thing was, he said the fight was on. He said it was incredible. This 32-pound gar that He caught, he said that the line was all tangled up in the trolling motor before it was over. He said the thing.
Oh, my God.
He said when they got him, he, you know, when they first hooked him, the thing took off like a missile. And he said it was, I'm sure that's a. I'm sure
yeah,
that's.
I mean, they're kind of shaped like a spoonbill, right? They're long.
Yeah, they're shaped like a missile.
In that respect.
Yeah.
Oh, and the bass, it's so much different, Tony. Like the bass between now and a month ago because of the water temperature.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple times I'd lay into one and I'd be like, "Good one," and then I'd get him up and he was just like 15 inches. But they were just that. You know, they're just putting up so much of a fight with the water temperature being up a little bit more.
Right.
You know, you forget. I do most of my fishing in the in the colder water, so they don't fight quite as hard.
Right.
But man, you hook into one now and they're hot. They're especially once they see the boat.
Man.
Yeah, and Lake of the Ozarks, man, it just keeps pumping out.
I want to get out
you know,
there.
Tournament
so
after
bad.
Tournament, they just keep pumping out the fish, man. It's crazy.
So what's
like you said, nationwide? I mean,
yeah.
It appears that everywhere.
You think that has to do with?
Better.
Do you think it has to do with? I mean, like, is this one of the few positives of the pandemic that people kind of rediscovered the great outdoors because so many things were closed
oh, for sure.
and it couldn't
for sure
you couldn't be
sure.
in close quarters with a bunch of people. So one or two people getting out on a boat and being socially distanced and going fishing, like, this is something that maybe a bunch of people sort of rediscovered in the last year.
I think 100%. I mean, tackle sales are at an all-time high, boat sales, our tournaments. I mean, we were just talking about the other day. We were at a BFL two or three weeks ago, and at Table Rock, we had one on Saturday, one on Sunday, both of them completely full, 240 boats. And it wasn't but 7-8 years ago that, we were barely drawing 100 boats, and now we're drawing 240, maxing out the field. So that and the young kids getting in fishing, that's my next tournament is I'm going to be, since my tournaments are pretty much done, I'm going to be coaching the Lincoln County team at Stockton for their championship. I'm going to be their captain for a change. I've always kind of been their coach that they call and we talk and all that, but I'm actually going to physically get to be there and be their boat captain. I'm pretty excited about that. These kids are outstanding, both of them. They know as much. I mean, with the information that's out there now, shows like this and YouTube and the 10 Horse Monty and, it's just there's so much information to be gathered out there. If you're a young, eager person, you can speed up the learning process so quick. I mean, just get out there and just dig for it. It's there, and then I love being a mentor to these kids and them asking me questions. I think I've said it before. It's like playing the guitar. If you give lessons, you learn more yourself. You forget.
Right.
When people ask you questions, it reminds you of why you do what you do.
Do you watch fishing on television? Do you watch the Bassmasters tournament? Do you watch Major
absolutely.
League Fishing? Like, do you,
absolutely.
And can you, do you,
I'd rather watch YouTube videos than that. I mean, it's kind of usually with today, you already know the results.
Right,
so it's
right.
kind of weird, there's not a lot of suspense there, but yeah, I still do.
Have you ever fished in a tournament with the live scoring like that, like
not,
they do on Major League
Fishing?
I would love to. Wouldn't that be,
I mean, love to.
I'll tell you what, I will say, I will give the fishing community this compliment over the last couple of years. That was the one sort of thing about bass tournaments. If you weren't really in to fishing tournaments on television, then it's not that
there's
exciting
no
to watch.
No drama.
But when they introduced periods and time limits and live scoring, and these guys know what the score is as it's happening, and there's a clock and a score like most sports are set up.
Right.
I think that was a really cool thing. I know a lot of traditionalists didn't really like it. At least out of the box, they didn't like it. But I thought that was a brilliant move to figure out a way.
I think it was a brilliant move too. I mean, it's made for television.
Yeah,
is what
it's
it
like
is. I mean, it's made
shot
for
clock.
The suspense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. And then you add in what they, it's. Let's be honest. People aren't patient. Do people jump on stuff? I'm like, hey, man, this is a work in progress.
Man, I would love to be
to figure this out. And they did. They went to the 2-pound minimum, which makes a difference. I mean, these guys are too good. You don't need to make it a pound. They can sit out there and catch 1-pounders all day, and nobody really wants to watch that.
Right.
Making it 2 pounds is better.
I would love to be in a boat. Great. I'd love to be sitting in a boat with Mike Marfell, and who's winning a tournament, and there's 20 minutes left. And somebody delivers the news that, Mike,
Bo Matthews just got a 3 pound 2 ounces. You're now 1.5 pound behind the leader, and
like, and here we go. And it's like, and Mike's start digging around in the polls and figuring out
the past, right?
Let's run over to you never knew, right?
You just didn't know where everybody stood,
right?
I always say when we're catching them good in a tournament, you know, a traditional style tournament, beware because everybody else probably is too.
Well,
can you, know, if in you, a traditional can... tournament, the easiest ones to win are the tough ones, the grinders. You know, I mean. Mm. You just got to then the mental part comes into, you know, keeping your focus and stuff.
Right. If you feel a tug on your
bite, it's over.
Go ahead, Carl.
If you feel a tug on your line, can you tell? Well, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah. How long in? How
to a degree?
How long into it? How long into the fight? How many seconds into the fight do you know if you got a big fish or a little one?
2, 3, probably.
Yeah.
But so, you can easily get fooled, like I said. I've hit one before. My God, good one.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I pinned it up against the brush pile or up against the cable or something, and you think it's big. But when you feel that head shake, with a bass, when you feel that big head shake, you know it's a big one. And here's another thing. When you never feel the bite, that's generally when it's a big one. When you're like, wait a minute, I didn't cast under the dock. All of a sudden, my line's under the dock, and I didn't feel anything. Well, those big ones just come up and open up and take it and swim off with it. They don't hit it hard, generally.
So, Mike,
just inhale it and swim off.
But ready to wrap this up. Before we go, though, I got to ask you what I always ask you. If people are listening to this and, they're downloading this podcast the week that it gets put out, so it's, you know, early to mid-May, and they're listening to us and they're getting ready to go fishing, what's a couple tips that people could take advantage of right now?
You're going to be looking for spawning areas where they're coming and going. So there's some that are on the beds right now, but the most of them are either done or coming in that next wave. So you want to find those flatter pea gravel areas and then either fish the fronts of the docks close to that, or the secondaries or main lake points leading into those pockets that, if you're looking for bass. And the bigger ones, you can go up there and catch the smaller males up shallow all you want, but those bigger females, until it's time to get on the bed, they like to hang out a little bit deeper on some points or underneath the fronts of docks, the front dock corners, back dock corners. So, and you, same thing, catch them your favorite way, shaky head, jig. I mean, guys were catching them all different ways last weekend. There was guys caught them on swim baits, guys caught them on spinner baits, guys caught them on square bill crankbaits. So pick your favorite bait and just cover water. Put your head down and cover water, and you'll catch more fish than – I mean, it was crazy. Like I said, we caught – had a limit by 7:30 in the morning and just caught fish all day long.
Sounds like it's just a great time to be out on the water.
Oh, absolutely. Well, anytime it's a good time
Amen.
To be on the water.
Amen. So, Mike, in the meantime, we'll talk. We'll, of course, talk to you again here real, real soon. In the meantime, 10 Horse Monty and anywhere else that people can follow you?
That's it, man. 10 Horse Monty. He's dropped several videos recently at Lake of the Ozarks and Table Rock. So, and he's doing the lesser known series now, too, where they're going to smaller, lesser known lakes.
Nice.
And, of course, that's upsetting a lot of people. Flooding. That fills
that's
up
our secret
lot.
Spot.
And the 10 Horse Monty, it's so funny, Tony. He gets I get recognized through his channel. It's so funny. He's like, man, you look familiar.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
His channel's growing and growing.
Dude, and it's a great.
To your listeners.
It's a great channel.
It's a quality product. Yeah,
amen.
Quality
it's product. A great channel. Go check it out. 10 Horse Monty. 10 like the metal, T-I-N, 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. You can watch Gabe and everybody there, and you can also see Mike. He is a regular on 10 Horse Monty show, so make sure you go
Absolutely.
And check it out. All right, buddy. Thanks for your time, as
All
usual,
right.
Mike Marfell, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Let's go Blues.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
See you, boys.
See ya. All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. Exclusive for Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See ya, boys.
Oh, see you, boys.